Human nature is called the way, and the regulation of the way is called religion, from the Confucian ethics as revealed in the Four Bule. The power exercised by Buddhism is largely due to the magnificent concept promulgated by it concerning the march of the self to perfection. Oppressed by the irksomeness of their tasks, and rendered hopeless by the ignobility of their station, the Sudras of India were victimized by a decadent Brahmanism, following the letter and not the spirit of Manu's law. The holy born sedulously avoided contact with inferiors, lest the pollution of promiscuous relationships endanger that state of sanctity in which their Brahman souls reposed. That golden age had passed when, rich in royal worth and valor, rich in holy Vedic lore, the head born were the virtuous stewards of the gods. In the Sitsipswayamvara of the Ramayana is described a noble Brahman king who ruled the righteous city Ayodhya. Like the ancient monarch Manu, father of the human race, Dasaratha ruled his people with a father's loving grace. Truth and justice swayed each action and each baser motive quelled. People's love and monarch's duty every thought and deed impelled. A superfluity of laws often proves more detrimental than an insufficiency of laws. In the service of their countless statutes, the Brahmans became oppressors of life. Themselves subservient to the cumbersome regulations which they had prescribed for others, the Brahmans also suffered from a plentitude of codes which regulated thought and action until life was reduced to a mere span of forms and conventions. But while the holy Brahman enjoyed a certain uncomfortable security, the Sudra, bereft even of hope, found his lot little better than that of the beast. The gods presumably were too busily engaged in answering the unceasing prayers of the twice-born pious to lend an ear to the supplications of the lowly. To these victims of a misinterpreted caste system, Buddhism brought the inspiring doctrine of freedom in bondage. While the Sudra 412 lecturesonancientphiloshophy THEL ATTER OF THE GODS 413 could not throw off the metaphorical shackles that bound his physical members, he did free his inner and immortal self from the concepts of limitation and despair. Buddhism revealed the stairway of the immortals, and through this doctrine, which verges on metaphysical evolution, gave hope of all ultimate accomplishment to those millions for whom present accomplishment was impossible. Inspired by this new hope, those who previously had cursed their tragic lot sang at their tasks, those who had looked forward to a life of pain smiled through their tears, and those who had faced eternity with fear and trembling were rendered strong by the knowledge of life's purpose. The miseries of the today were forgotten, and men dwelt together in a glorious tomorrow. The lowly uncaste sensed the Brahman within his frame, for to the sinner had been revealed the hidden saint within. Indra's city vanished from the sky, the gods were dissipated like mist before the dawn of reason, only self remained, the glorious universal self, the one who is in all, the all which is in each, rising up against their heavenly despots and emancipating themselves from the hierarchies of fears they had worshipped. The Sudras declared themselves free men of the universe. Thus the letter gave place again to the spirit, and human beings faced their own thoughts and actions unafraid. Armed with the tools of the noble path, each true believer hewed an appropriate destiny from the eternal substances of being, recognizing his state to signify that of greatest sipa rateness. The Sudra began to ascend the ladder of diversity, finally raising himself to unity upon its several rungs. True philosophy inspires with the courage to accomplish, and equips with the patience to wait. It reveals not only the end, but also the means to that end. Philosophy is indeed a mystical ladder, up which men climb from ignorance to reason. Its rungs are the arts and sciences, and he who ascends the whole of the way finds that its upper extremity rests in the substances of an invisible but most substantial world, the proper abode of the wise. Here are the groves of learning where the sages sit together musing upon consequentials. This is a sphere of 414 lecturesonanciental philosophy. Peace, for with depth of learning wrangling ceases and the thoughtful mind to solitude retires. This is indeed the place of the Isarim, or blessed souls, of which the rabbins dreamed, and where the Kadeshim pondered over the great sod, for it is written in the Proverbs, and his sod are for the Isarim. Fear not, admonished Pythagoras in the golden verses. Men come from a heavenly race and are taught by a diviner nature that which they should accept and that which they should reject. Philo Judaeus describes the allegorical ladder, which is raised from earth to heaven, showing its macrocosmic analogies and its application to the microcosm, or man. This ladder, according to Philo, is of the world its astral part and of man the soul, the foot of which is, as it were, its earthly part, namely, sensation, while its head is, as it were, its heavenly part, the purest mind. Upon this ladder move what Philo terms the Logi, which may be interpreted as either the words or, more generally, the gods. To these words or gods is ascribed a very secret and wonderful meaning. In the chapter on the annihilation of the sense of diversity, we have already described the spheres of realization, or consciousness, which man causes to manifest out of his own potentialities. The level of integrity upon which the individual functions is his level or sphere of consciousness, and each of these levels or spheres, when considered as a whole, is a god or word of power moving upon the ladder. Thus Philo declares that when the Logi ascend, they draw the ladder, or soul, up with them, which arcanely intimates two things: one, that the gods or words cannot descend other than by the soul, and having once perfected the soul lose contact with the world; two, that the soul in its ascent absorbs inferior natures into itself, so that as it rises there is nothing left beneath it. The golden verses conclude: thy mind's reins let reason guide, then stripped of flesh up to free ether soar. A deathless god, divine, mortal no more. In his dream Jacob beheld a mysterious ladder with its foot upon the earth and its top extending upward into the divine. The ladder of the gods, 415. Sphere. In the mysteries it is declared that 72 aeons, or angels, moved upon the ladder. These angels are the 72 names or powers that emanate from Shem Hamphorish, the separate and ineffable deity. Ibn Ezra, writing in the 12th century, states on the authority of Ibn Gabirol that the ladder which Jacob saw in his dream signified the superior or rational soul, and that the angels of Elohim which ascend and descend thereon are the abstract thoughts of wisdom, which attach themselves at the same time, both to a spiritual or superior subject, and also to the corporeal and inferior. The word which has been rendered ladder is salam, which means that which is piled into a heap, raised up or lifted. And it is upon this raised or exalted place that the Malawi Elohim moved up and down. We cannot do better than consider the meaning of the words dam as here employed. Albert Pike states that in archaic Hebrew there was no word to designate a pyramid. In the word Jerusalem, for example, Sale Mem is generally interpreted to mean peace, and Melchizedek, the prince of Salem, was called the Lord of Peace. It might be more accurate, however, to replace the word peace with exalted or lifted, in which event Jerusalem could be interpreted to mean the city of the latter. In this connection, the fact should not be overlooked that Muhammad on his night journey to heaven, after arriving at Jerusalem on Al-Buruq, beheld a ladder formed of golden rope descending from heaven. The lower end of this ladder rested upon Mount Moriah, and climbing the swaying stair the Prophet of Islam entered into the very presence of the living but many veiled God. In the ancient wisdom it was also declared that the sacred mountains of the world rose in seven steps or stages, as the Meru of the Hindus, and it was from the high place, or the seventh step, that offerings were made to the Lord whose name is blessed. Not only did the holy place rise in seven platforms or levels, but upon its topmost level was usually erected a triform symbol of the divine nature itself. Thus, the seven steps, complemented by this threefold figure, became the mysterious Pythagorean decad, or the symbol of the tenfold. 416 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY. Order of the universe. Jacob's ladder then actually becomes the symbolic mountain or pyramid. Pyramids, wherever found, are symbolic of the Axis mountain of the world, the Olympus, Asgard, and Meru of the pagans, and possibly the rock Moriah, upon which the temple stood at Jerusalem. In his pagan idol, Utrei, Faber describes the Mithraic ladder used in the initiatory rites of the Persian mysteries, which he affirms was in reality a pyramid of seven steps, further declaring that on each step was a door. In the ceremonials, the neophyte climbed the pyramid, passing through the seven doors, and then through similar portals descended on the opposite side. This pyramid was symbolic of both the world and the sidereal system. Nearly all great buildings of antiquity were symbolic of the universe. And according to Cicero, the conquering Xerxes destroyed the temples of the Greeks, declaring that the entire world was the proper house of God and that deity was profaned when man prepared for him a house less dignified than his own solar mansion. Celsus gives a certain key to the ceremonials of the Mithraic rite, but of these mysteries comparatively little is known. H.A.B. Ing passed successfully through the dangers imposed by his initiators, the candidate was invested with a great cape either embroidered or painted with stars, and with the constellations of the zodiac ornamenting the hem. Like the starry hat of Aedes, these star-strewn cloaks signified the soul in its highest and most causal aspect. Thus by the mysteries a heavenly nature was conferred, and men who formerly dwelt about the earth itself were raised to a heavenly abode and their whole natures invested with celestial raiment. The corporeal body was transmuted by the mysteries into a celestial body, for men who had previously enveloped themselves in the dark garments of form now put on a more luminous garb resplendent with the heavenly lights. Above the earth are the planets, above the planets are the stars. Uninitiated mortals exist in physical natures limited to the concerns of the earth and are termed material because their rational natures are in servitude to a mortal constitution. Disciples are those who take upon themselves the striped garments of the planets, the cloak of many